Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
To declare your independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
To declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, on the Free Talk Live Network on Genesis. We're talking with a gentleman named Kyle Gundelach. Now, he owns Promise Farm, and he's a general contractor, but he also does alternative home builds in Cochise County in southeastern Arizona, where they have an opt-out for building permits. You can go in and say, I opt out. I want to get a permit, did I get any more permits? So there's a lot of alternative building down there with different materials, different equipment, different building materials. It's just amazing what has been accomplished there when you just leave people alone. Freedom's the answer. Well, that's a question. Now, he has been a go-to source for building geodesic domes. What he does is he puts up the geodesic frames, which we have the machines for making. We've done dozens of domes, and you know, for various different uses. But what he's done is he takes and he sprays it with a $50,000 used plus a bunch of other equipment and compressors and generators and stuff that you need to have a business. He's a contractor that sprays this two-part foam on the frame, boom, house in like a couple of days. It's quality, strength, it's amazing. That's what we're talking about. We just want to make sure you're inspired with a lot of the opportunities and the various alternative methods that are out there. And I think you find this interesting. Let's give it a listen.
It's like, so if you look real closely at it, it's got a square screen grid pattern with what looks like a dryer sheet over it.
So that's
a little bit of a combination. It's an interesting product. You can buy rolls of it, you know, Home Depot.
Okay, that's good to know. I'll go check that crap out.
I think you get like a 300-foot roll for $100.
Now, one thing I didn't see, as you form the overhangs on the windows and doors, when you look at here, I don't see any overhang or window or door, you know, over the door. But when I go,
so I added those later on. The door, this front door, I did it to right away. But all the windows were done actually quite a bit later. And what I ended up doing is I drilled a hole in the foam and stuck rebar in it, and then I used hex tubing that I had left over to make the arch and stretched fabric over it and sprayed it. And they're strong enough to, you know, I can get up on top of them and jump around on them.
Wow. So you took, like, this window that's up here, the big window that's up to the left there, that's kind of facing you or whoever's standing on the dome over there, that has, when you're done, we'll get a picture later, has a big eyelid over it. Now, I'm sure that the way you had it, you know, in the summer it shades it from the sun, and in the winter it lets the sun come in or something, right? So
yeah.
You had to figure that out. So you just took it, drilled like 4 inches into the foam, placed a
8-inch piece of rebar or something and put a PEX over it and kind of looped it and then started building from that. How did you get the inside? Was it chicken wire or more conduit?
No, I didn't go deep enough to get to the inside. I literally only went in about 1 inch to 2 inches when I drilled. It's so the foam just sticks to itself really well, or it sticks to paint really well. So I completely depended on the foam for structure, not the steel at all.
Wow. Now, we did make an arch, a porch on a 22-foot dome. A lot of the audience has seen it. We had a 22-foot dome that we took a PVC 20-foot piece, and we had two windows up front and a door, you know, and a four-phase. And we ran it to where it went over both windows and the door, so I didn't have to do the lid. So it kind of made like a baseball cap. That angle kind of stuck out. And then we put, rebar that went out. And I was afraid, and it kind of cantilevered over the door frame. And I was kind of afraid that it was going to be too heavy with the concrete and everything. We had it probably like 5 inches of concrete, cement, as we were putting it on by hand. And we're three of us out there walking on it. I mean, it was not going to go anywhere. So I can see that this would be, but you're saying the structure of it was just the foam. Now, from the end of it, when you look at the lid, from the end of the lid, the peak of the tip of the brim down to the dome, what filled that in? Fabric?
Yeah.
That was it?
Yep, that's it.
Wow. Okay. Says Kyle, man. He did it. All right. So like this door here that has that little overlap, that shading that goes over that rain diverter or whatever you call that, that was the same thing? You just kind of did a PEX around there and then blended the fabric in with the dome and sprayed it?
Yep.
Wow. Is there any forming to it?
Makes it real easy.
Do you do any forming by hand or shaving it or sanding it or anything?
No, just spray carefully, and that was pretty much, it.
All right. Okay. Now, this is done and painted. You got it. Well, this doesn't look like a paint. This is what, the Flex Seal or something?
That's actually that roof coat elastomeric. I had a bunch left over, so I just bought a little more and finish it off. That was we used that as a primer coat at the time.
Okay, now the brown or the I don't know, what do you call it, the Sedona red color, whatever that is. Yeah. This here, is that the same type of material?
Yeah, so it's not a roof coat. It's a Behr makes a wall coat elastomeric that is tintable. It's lifetime warranty for horizontal surfaces. Or vertical surfaces, not horizontal surfaces. So, I guess we'll see how it holds up on the roof, but on the walls it should do great.
Yeah, no, I thought it was really nice, and it was a good choice of color too for the area. So here you start to get, now this is before you put your eyelid over your big window, and I guess you had the windows, what you didn't want covered, just covered with tape and paper or whatever, and then peeled that off, and it just molded. You could do freaking anything. So you just did regular door frames, you put in there, and then hung regular doors, and you're done.
Yep.
All right. So we'll just take some pictures of this. Okay, the crew, all right? Now, when you built this, how much help did you have? Or did they just come over for doing your planters?
What we do, my wife actually started it. We have a group of homesteaders, and we get together twice a month, and we work on somebody's homestead, and we just knock out big projects. So it was our turn this day. And see that wall that everybody's standing on?
Yep.
We put that earth bag wall around the entire house in 3.5 hours. I think we had 30 people show up.
Awesome.
3.5 hours, and that's what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's at least 8 layers.
Yeah. It's waist high, so it's probably, what, 3 feet or so?
Oh, my God. Now, I saw what you had done. This is like curved wall that goes around, and you filled it with dirt, and it was a planter. I mean, you have like a garden around all of your dome.
Right. So instead of putting – so I can build foam gutters on the domes, but instead of doing that for this one, we just built our gardens right around the house, and all the water falls off the house into our garden beds.
Yeah, you don't even have to store it. It's a direct go-to.
Open up the kitchen window and pick some sprouts.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You just open the window right into the garden. That's a good idea. Okay, now, one of the things is when you have water, I guess you have experience, if not on this home, maybe others, is that if you're looking to collect rainwater on a dome, how would you do that?
So, you know, it's a similar method to how we put the brows over the doors and windows, except it's going the other direction. So you drill a shallow hole, stick rebar in, and it kind of V's up, and then stretch fabric around and spray it, and it makes like a foam gutter. And then if you want to collect drinking water off the domes, everything above the gutter has to be like a silicone paint, because it's still... silicone paint is drinking water safe, and it's a lifetime warranty. But
so there's a silicone paint that, you know, reacts similar to this elastomeric stuff.
Yeah, so it's a lot more expensive though. So like, and it's not tintable. So, you know, the silicone paint comes either tan or white, but it doesn't break down at all. So you can safely drink the water coming off the roof. Whereas the elastomeric, you will get residue of the elastomeric coming off in your water continually, so it's not not considered potable.
So if you had some kind of a design for doing a gutter, and you kind of, because we got a lot of different ideas. We showed you our kind of design. We had a lot of ideas for this. The one thing to keep in mind is you need a silicone-based paint above the gutter to make sure that you're not poisoning yourself.
Right. I mean, if you're using it for plants and stuff, it doesn't matter. But if you're planning on drinking it, silicone's the way to go.
All right. Don't want to die. Okay. Now, the inside, it looks here that before you actually sprayed the foam on the inside, you started building the floors. I mean, the second story. Why?
Yep. So, I didn't want to have to try to make the floorboards perfectly match the foam. So we built the second floor first, and it's kind of a freestanding unit. And then when I foamed the inside, I could take the foam right down and actually contact the floorboards and everything, and it locks it all in and makes it real solid.
Oh, so the foam, so the floors didn't rest on any of the outside structure?
No.
So you got it.
So you can see all the posts there, and it's all the weight is just sitting on those posts.
It's freestanding.
Yep.
Wow. And then you kind of taped it or covered it, and then spray foam the inside, and it just covered. So the foam is your baseboard, or do you have baseboards?
I found that you can take. I don't know if you've seen that PVC trim. If you use the PVC trim and a heat gun, you can get it to mold and form around all the bases. That's what I did.
Oh, I didn't think of that. PVC, it's like a, one by trim, however, design, extruded, whatever, but it's PVC. It's kind of a plastic like the PVC, and if you heat it, then it'll kind of just form to whatever shape, is what you're saying.
Yep.
Oh, I didn't think of that. That's a good idea. Okay. All right. Okay, now is this your wife?
Yep.
Okay, so what's she doing? She's just trimming all the wood so you don't screw it up?
So right there, she's putting masking paper, over all over the beam, because we wanted the beam exposed. So just to make sure we don't get foam on it.
Did you make that beam, or did you order that beam? Because that's a beam.
I ordered it. It's 35 foot long.
Damn.
It's 6.5 inches wide and 13.25 inches tall. So it's a big boy.
Damn, that's damn. Okay, now this is the underneath of the floor that you created, you know, to provide for the second floor. Now you foamed the bottom of that.
Yeah, so I sprayed an open cell foam in there, which is a whole different thing. It's not structural at all, but it's a really good sound barrier. And since my kids were gonna be up in the second floor, I didn't want to be hearing them banging on the floor all the time.
So that's why you did it, just for sound abatement.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, yeah, you're a dad. All right, I get it. The I just learned to tune them out, man. I just don't care. Whatever, you know, turn the TV volume up. All right, so now then you have a stairway. You have these full storage rooms, bedrooms. How big are these rooms on the second floor?
Yeah, so there's a full bathroom upstairs, and there's two bedrooms, and then a closet.
Well, how big are these bedrooms up there?
They're not huge. They're probably, I'd say about 100 square foot, maybe a little more, 160.
So, like, you know, yeah, 10 by 10, 10 by 15. So that's a good size. So that's big enough for a kid. I mean, you know, so are they up there?
Yeah, my kids live up in the second floor.
I saw.
Right now, they're sleeping out in the treehouse I built, but...
Of course they are. You're such a dad. All right. So the one thing I saw is you had like a classroom downstairs. It looked like you built a classroom there. And then what are we looking at here?
I think those are the kitchen windows right there.
Okay.
So that's before all the cabinets and everything went in.
Okay. Now, to conform to the cabinets and so on, like you didn't want to have... The floor upstairs, you had to integrate it into the wall or to the strut or whatever. Did you do the same kind of thing with the cabinets? Did you do wood tops? Did you cement tops or granite tops? Or how did you build and customize the kitchen?
So what we did is we actually put the bases in after the inside foam and everything. And then we used plywood and we did a resin countertop. So... The plywood, what we did, well, actually, we can just take a pull saw and you lay the board on the cabinets and you can just kind of cut the line, just laying the saw flat on the plywood, and it scores all your foam, and you can just carve out, you know, the 3/4 inch or whatever your plywood is that your foam's gonna, or that your, you know, the thickness of your wood. And it'll slide right back into the foam. That way it still doesn't have to be cut totally perfect. It's, you know, it's a little bit more fine work, but...
Well, do you have a backsplash or anything, or...?
No, so it just goes straight into the foam.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bob's going to go here in a little bit. You got any other questions you wanted to make sure or comment?
No, not really. It's, you know, it's interesting to... Talk to someone who's actually done the price comparison for the covering, because that's always been the issue, is what to cover the dome with.
Right.
And we always thought the foam was so expensive.
It's a little expensive, but it's effective. And then, you know, when your R value is so high, it's the most efficient building you can get as well. So, you know, in the long run, you're saving a lot in that sense.
Okay. Now, you do solar... But you had electricity. Yep. Are you on the grid too, or no, or what?
So I started on the grid, and then I eventually put up enough solar so where I could disconnect from the grid.
So tell us about your energy usage for heating and cooling there, because you're one thing I didn't know. Then where you're at, Cochise County, there is like 5,000 feet.
It's like
Payson.
Yeah.
You know, it gets kind
of cool. We're right at 4,500 feet.
Okay, so your energy usage is what? Less, little, none? You know, what do you think?
You know, so it's... I don't know if you saw in the pictures, I did geothermal water pipes in my floor.
Yes, I did. I wanted to ask you about that. When you did your... pad you had put down. Tell us what you did in your footer how you laid your ground, your vapor barrier, the raising of the PEX pipe for heating the floor, everything. Go.
Okay, so I did pretty much a traditional stem wall and footer. And then I backfilled my stem wall with AB, and I sprayed 2 inches of foam down on top of that, and then set up all my rebar for my slab, and attached all the geothermal tubing to that. So it's half inch PEX. They're 300 foot loops. And you know, it works really well with solar, because in the daytime when I've got plenty of power, you know, my batteries are all topped off by noon, I can start dumping all that energy into heating my floor. So I've got, everything's electric. My water heater is electric. My oven's electric. Everything's electric.
Well, what's the kilowatts you have in production? I mean, you have how many kilowatts of solar panels?
I've got 12 kilowatts of solar panel, and I've got, you know, 800 amp hours of battery at 48 volts.
Whoa. Okay.
But I'm running welders, press machine. I've got a 3-horsepower well pump that runs, you know, the farm, and so I use a lot of power. But the cool thing with the geothermal is I can start dumping heat into it at noon to 4, you know, after my batteries are already topped off and before the sun starts going down. And the heat doesn't really start radiating out of the floor until about 10 o'clock at night. So then, you know, it actually gets a little, you know, it's such an efficient house that it can get a little warm at 10 at night, but then, you know, as the temperature starts dropping outside, it gets pretty comfortable. And then I don't really need to supplement with heat after that, because, you know, that floor, that slab's already heated. So I've got all that geothermal, you know, all that thermal mass built up.
So the suggestion you're making to everybody, to me, we build our dome, however we wind up doing it. The main thing is make sure you have a heated slab for your excess electricity not to go to waste. And then in the evening, because that's one thing. A lot of people, when they say you live in the desert and they're like, oh, my God, it's so hot, it's so hot, it's so hot. Yeah, it's hot. But one of the things you really got to worry about is in the winter and at night, it's freaking cold. You know, I remember talking to a lot of people in Arizona. They spend more mental energy and physical effort worrying about and taking care of being warm than they do cold. You know, how does that relate to you?
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer intends to present a bill linking funding for Israel and Ukraine to the Senate floor as early as next week.
Aid to Israel, Ukraine, humanitarian aid for civilians in Gaza, and the Indo-Pacific are all related and demand bipartisan cooperation.
New home sales slowed in October, with the Commerce Department reporting a total of 679,000 homes under contract for the month, This represents a 5.6% decline from September, but remains nearly 18% higher than the sales rate from 1 year ago. An Oregon teachers union have announced an end to their strike.
The three-week-long Portland teacher strike is over. Yesterday, the school district and their teachers union reached a tentative contract that gives teachers pay raises, more time to prepare, and additional mental health supports for students.
Dave Collins, USA News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy. Since there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, on the Free Talk Live Network on Genesis. We're continuing the conversation with Kyle Gundelach. He has a contractor's license. He's out of Cochise County, southeastern Arizona, and he happens to be in a county that allows for an opt-out. You can get a permit, not get any more permits. He has a building technique using geodesic domes sprayed with foam, and boom. Very fast, high quality, highly insulated, very strong, and we are continuing the conversation.
So the suggestion you're making to everybody, to me, we build our dome, however we wind up doing it, the main thing is make sure you have a heated slab for your excess electricity not to go to waste, and then in the evening. That's one thing. A lot of people, when they say you live in the desert and they're like, oh, my God, it's so hot, it's so hot, it's so hot. Yeah, it's hot. But one of the things you really got to worry about is in the winter, and it's freaking cold, you know. I remember talking to a lot of people in Arizona. They spend more mental energy and physical effort worrying about and taking care of being warm than they do cold. You know, how does that relate to you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I moved to Arizona because I don't like the cold. And yeah, you know, actually our first year out here, we didn't realize how cold it got. We moved out here in a tent. We had nothing. You know, it's just me and my wife. We traveled around in a pickup truck for a year before we settled on Arizona. So, you know, we showed up in, I think it was November, in a tent, and it got down to 0 degrees. The second night we were here, and we just didn't realize what it was like in the high desert.
Well, what brought you to Arizona Cochise? Was the opt-out option for building homes?
You know, we had a limited amount of money. I had a tax return to make a down payment on property, and We were looking for cheap land. We didn't actually know about the opt-out permit yet. And we just landed in the perfect place pretty much by accident.
Wow. That's, you know,
yep.
You're, do you find that you're common? You know, because I find that, you know, I would think that more people young wanting to freaking just breathe in and out on a regular basis, not too hot, not too cold, not too wet, not too dry, not too hungry, not too thirsty. I got a piece of land to do it, and you do it, and you spend some time every day on doing it, and you did it. You know, and there are other people your age not doing that because why?
You know, it's getting more and more common. You know, when we first got out here, I felt like we were the only ones doing it, and I think we kind of were. But now there's such a community of people doing it, and you know, you saw all those people that came for our work group.
Yeah.
And now people are inviting their friends to come do that, and they're moving here for that because of the community that we have. So it's contagious. It's spreading. People are seeing the freedom that it brings, and it's spreading. So it's pretty exciting.
Well, tell us real quick before you go about your wife creating this community thing as a Instagram, Facebook, community billboard, BBS of hello, flag, up a pole, something. How does that work?
You know, we decided to have a meeting about starting some kind of a work group. And, you know, I'm not sure if she posted it maybe on Facebook, but, you know, I think most of it was spread by word of mouth. Because we told a couple people this is what we want to do. We set the date and, you know, sent out a mass text to, you know, the people that we thought would be interested. And we had, I think we had 25 people show up the first time.
Wow.
Just to talk about doing it. And there were people we had never met before showing up. So it was really encouraging. And then every work group that we've done has, I think, them. You know, we take a break for the summer because the summer is so rough. But every work group not in the middle of summer, we've had at least 20 to 30 people show up.
And how long is it? You get a big Amish barn raising and then everybody, you know, somebody builds sandwiches. I mean, you know, how does that work?
Yeah, we start in the morning and the host provides lunch. And then we all... So we work till about noon, 1 o'clock, and then take a break, and we all eat together, and then go our separate ways.
Okay, now this, we're looking at the flooring here. Do you use some leveling kind of mix, or is it just more layers? How do you do your own slabs?
So this actually was the first attempt at making an aircrete slab. So that whole slab, that's the dome. That's the aircrete dome slab, and that's all aircrete. It's I used extra sand in the mix, but
how'd that work out?
And then it worked out surprisingly well, better than I thought, honestly. And then what I ended up doing is coating that thin layer on top that I'm putting on there is closer to like a mortar mix. It's I think it's 3 part sand and 1 part Portland.
Yeah, I've been up to Aircrete
Harry's. And then it
Harry's.
Just gives that a nice hard shell.
That's how Aircrete Harry does it up in Trinidad, Colorado. You know, I've seen him do it. He just dumps aircrete into a form, and then he puts like a quarter inch of harder stuff on top of it, you know. So I was wondering if that's what you did. So that seemed to work for him. Okay, let's get through these.
Yeah,
we got that's the dome that you put on. That was the aircrete one. Yeah, we went through this. You know, this has been awesome. You know, Kyle, thanks for spending so much time with me. Now, what I want people to know is that I asked Kyle, I said, all right, Kyle, if I need, I know the answer is always yes, it's just how much, you know. But I build everything, I get it all set, I get my stuff done. You know, you come out and you just spray it and boom, you're done. If you were to spray your home again, and you know what you know now, and you had the wire frame done for you, how long would it take for you to do it?
So I can spray, you know, as far as the roof coat goes, I can spray about
2,000 square feet, a little more in a day. So my house would take 2 days for the outside shell. And then on the inside, I could spray it in probably a day and a half.
So less than a week. I got it. I say,
oh, yeah.
All right, come on up, boom. Pop it out in a week, yeah. And everybody sit back and watch you do it.
Yeah, pretty much.
They'll help you kind of, you know, hose you off or something. Okay. So
yeah, move the hoses around on the ground for me.
Hey, man, you know, it's always you need somebody to do something. All right, now,
yep.
Doing this, you know, I wanted to give people an idea that is this permittable in some other areas that don't have the opt-out? Or is that like, nope, not allowed, you can't do it, that's too easy, people would be able to live and stuff, you're not allowed. You know, how's that work?
So you just have to get it engineered, which I haven't had to go down that route yet. Everybody so far has gone through the opt-out permit. I have a group of people that got the, they want the land permit, land patent route. So I don't know if you know about that, but you know, I'm not sure how effective that is. I guess we'll find out.
Has anybody been successful in that? I hear about it all the time. Done a bunch of shows with it. Had guys on from Oregon. Everybody's, man, we're bringing the patent forward and doing kind of, yeah. Who's done it? You know anybody that's done it?
You know, well, once I spray this dome up for these people, I'll know somebody. But essentially, you know, what I told them is, like, I'll do it, but I'm going to put a clause in the invoice that says you're responsible for permitting. That way I'm covered with my license and everything, but, you know, I can do it, and they can fight it, you know, if anybody comes after them for it.
I'm a fighter, man. Get what fur, you know, so I'll have some fun with that. But the doing the actual for outside of Cochise and people want this done, you'll do it. You don't care. You know, and you'll,
right.
You'll pay me. I'll do what you want. But the when you say structural engineering, okay, I'm gonna throw something down on you here. All right, pay attention. You ready? Here it goes. We have supporters that support the concept of occupy the land, of us being doing this and making a thing out of it, because I can see when they go, you'll own nothing and here's your happy shot, you know, what they're talking about is land. They don't want you to be able to do exactly what your family is doing. Here is a young family that is homeschooling their own children. They're growing their own food. They got a 68-foot dome. They're creating an aquaponics with trout of feeding the planet. And, oh, my God, might even have surplus and make money. Oh, did I say that out loud? You made money. Then you have a construction business doing this. You're an inspiration for people doing it. You got 20, 30 people come every couple of weeks that you guys go and you're doing. You are the freaking enemy to they, them, those, okay? That won't leave us alone. You're so freaking not allowed. But this is why I wanted to talk to you, because you represent exactly what we're, you know, supporting that you're already doing. It's just Cochise County, not Maricopa. Now, I'm in Maricopa because that's where grandkids are. That's the way it is, okay? Now, the thing is that when you talk about structural engineering, we have a couple of architects, we have supporters, we have friends, we have this, we've been talking about it since 08. What is that? Got 15 years that we've been, you know, toying with this, and now here we go. We're purchasing land. We thought we were getting a 20-acre spot that we really liked, and then we're in bidding war with some. Then we find out right by it, same kind of, for 40 acres for same price. I go, you know, I vote that one, okay? So then we have area for other people. We got family. We got, you know, so there is support for structural engineering.
Right.
If you'll work with us and you want to have and you find the people and the whatever, I can help with resources. I might even be able to have. Now, Washington State, when we did a prototype and we were doing this, we did get structural engineer to sign off on what we had done up there. He's like, oh, yeah, man, you're fine. All you got to do is make sure you get a 12-inch footer and you're good. I mean, the way you got it, and that thing ain't going nowhere. Now, of course, it was cement, so, you know, that was one thing. But the You come up with the design or whatever it is that you want to submit, or you want, because we have one of the architects is in San Diego and one is in Tucson. The one in Tucson is very familiar with doing adobe restoration of old homes so that they can restore them from back in the day that's been whatever. So with hyper adobe and that kind of stuff, you know, she can work with that. But also this. So if you will supply or have the structural that you want help, I got some resources to make sure that we can get structural engineering for what you're talking about. Are you wanting to work with us?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's do it. So you let me cool. know. I'm going to be busy until I can't really wait, man. I mean, we're rocking and rolling on this. And whatever we get started now, find if you know someone. Because anybody that I've contacted on this, some of these architectural firms, oh, yeah, we're in 50 states and so many countries of whatever. All right, well, I need structural on this. Well, I'm not sure I want to. Okay, shut up. So you find someone that's willing to work with us or a structural engineer that sometimes you have some of your suppliers or like your the actual components for the foam, they're like, oh, yeah, we've been looking for someone to do, and, you know, we'll be in and we'll sponsor, or we know somebody, or we. I'm your point guy. I want to help because we got resources okay. to do this. So you can help me Great. Out where to start, who to start talking to. Then we got a team that's going to jump on it like a dude bug with ducks going after it. Okay? So.
Yeah, I might even have a name of an engineer who might be willing to take it on. So somebody just talked to me about it the other day and said they think they found somebody who would be willing to take it on. So
wait on you now, okay? So I'm just so this is you can see from our perspective that this is important to me. We've been working on right. this since freaking forever. You know, this has been something that we've done since, you know, 15 years ago that we started thinking about this and sharing with people exactly the same kind of stuff that you're doing. But we've been busy. You know, we just didn't have time. And we got a bunch of pictures of 15 gazillion different dome projects that we've done and stuff. And this one, you know, so people can see. Occupy the land. This is what we are building in our land here in Maricopa County. Now, I get this design, and I build all the struts. I have the machine to make this. I got the design for how to do the hallways. I got the design, okay? I do this, and I say, come up and spray it. The answer is yes, it's just how much. I mean, you know, we do it. Hell, it might be worth me buying a damn machine. But if I can get this to be able to be engineered so that I got the man off my butt, not that I freaking care, but to have this option just to say we did and to provide this for people to be able to have places not to be homeless. And the thing is for young families to do this at a price that does not include $1 million bill, that has a mortgage that they got the vampire squid of the banks on their face for the rest of their life, that they can have, you know, start to build equity in their life and raising their children and not have this enormous expense that's there because of government permits, because they want the contractors to make the money, because the developers don't want you doing it yourself, and Arizona's got enough freaking desert. I'm like, are you kidding me? So I am doing this out of a philosophical thing in addition to what I want and the promise I made to my wife. So you are my new best friend, okay? So if you have, now, a lot of inspiration from Green Dream, Tiny Shiny, My Little Homestead, all these people, the creative people in your area, because they have this opt-out, I'm really focusing on that. We have a whole other project that, you know, I'll tell you about later and how in the legislature and we're political and get them to, I can't believe that I don't have and you guys suck and you're not going to get elected until you free the people and, you know, Klaus Schwab can suck it and, you know, whatever. So we'll take care of that. But part of this solution is to have the mechanical engine, whether we use it or not, it's good right. evidence to show, of course it's safe. It's better than whatever. You'd rather us be homeless because we didn't kiss the ring of the man. So
right.
This is where we're coming from. And the fact that you have the capability to build someone's dream like this, and you do it in a month, you know, after I put it up, ooh, the man don't like that. You feel me?
Yeah, it's too efficient, too easy.
Yeah, no, this is where I'm at.
Too cheap.
Well, you've demonstrated. I wanted people to talk to you to see a young guy, a young family, school bus with kids, and go, oh, my God, I got to build a house and be a responsible, you know, kind of, you know, and raise kids and stuff. And I've been to this home, and it's beautiful. It is just so simple. It's so effective. It's so clean. It's so insulated. It's so energy. It's green as hell. I mean, it's green. They go, no, you're doing it wrong because you didn't get a permission slip to be green and not, you know, use energy of whatever their BS thing that they're come up with. And we all know it's BS. Now, this is his workshop. I mean, he's got a big butt workshop right here, too. So this is, and the one thing, when you started doing the pond, and you did this gazebo thing, I want to get to that, because, yeah, what is this you're doing? What is this small, is that a doghouse or something?
So that is literally the first dome. The first spray foam dome. I wanted to see if it would, the fabric would hold the foam and how it would work, if it would be strong enough. Yep. And so now it's a doghouse.
Very cool. And then, you know, greenhouses and chicken coops and all kinds of stuff. Now the chicken coop, man, you're the man. And then the 5-gallon bucket, that's a good idea. You know, I didn't think of that. We needed milk crates, but they're a lot easier to find that way. I'm trying to get to the gazebo thing here. That. Now, you just came up with that just by practice?
Yeah. I mean, we figured it out in an evening, essentially. And Donna, that's the bigger version of it right there.
Yeah, Donna was enamored with this. She definitely wanted one of them for, you know, and I'm thinking that we'll do a lot of different things. We have, you know, ideas for, you know, we can really make a lot with this. You know, it's occupy the land with attainable housing. What you're doing is exactly what we're promoting. And we're just started getting the web page done and getting set. And, you know, and my whole point is, Occupy, that we got a bunch of different art. Little Aki, you know, is like the mascot kind of guy. And then, you know, TP, I don't give a crap. RV, I don't care. That's not the point. Get out of the cities. Yep. And for you to have the capability not only to be an inspiration, to demonstrate what can be done and how, that's why I wanted to talk to you. Now, you have a business. What is that? How do people find you? Where do they go? What's your webpage?
So I don't have a webpage. It's all word of mouth, and I keep quite busy that way. But I've got an email. It's Promise Farm AZ. As in Arizona, at gmail.com. And that's probably the best way to start. And then from there, we'll probably turn into phone calls. And yeah.
But, Promise Farm AZ. Promise Farm AZ at Gmail. That'd probably help if we spelled that right. whatever, it's too late now. But anyway, it's Promise with an R, I'm sure, you know. Yeah, we did it wrong. Sorry about that. So I want to go ahead. I'll let you go. Thanks for spending this extra time with me. Donna will make sure you get this show and, you know, so that you can share or whatever. But we are definitely sharing with our audience because you demonstrate exactly what we've been hoping to inspire people to do. And you already did it. You know, and when did you do that? How long have you been living in that home?
It's been, it's been 2 years now, I think.
So middle of COVID.
Yeah.
Now you're all locked down, didn't care. You go, whatever, let me know, you know, write me a letter about it. I'll watch the movie later, you know. Kyle, thank you very much for coming on. This was awesome. Peace, man.
Thanks.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, did we make a new friend? I think we did. This is going to be a continuing relationship that we're going to be doing the best that we can to make sure that this technology is not lost to regulation so that people can house themselves, that you can be not too cold, not too hot, not too hungry, not too thirsty, not out in the wind, not out in the rain, that you can educate your own children in your own facility, grow your own food, have enough. There is plenty of land. We have been traveling the last few years across the country several times with the Love Bus Liberty Tour, and I'm telling you, America is beautiful, bountiful, and has lots of land. And if we can do it in the Sonoran Desert with 6-7 inches of rain a year, you know, I don't even want to hear your excuse. So this is something that we're continuing with the help of people like Kyle. Kyle is available. You go to Declare Your Independence with ErnestHancock.com, and you'll look up his name. You can go on the right side of that page. You'll see topic and shows by guest. You go look for the guest, Kyle Gundelach, G-U-N-D-E-L-A-C-H. Kyle Gundelach, and I'm sure, and he has most of his stuff on Instagram. And it's Geodesic Dome Home Builder, or Promise Farm. That probably give you the best way to get hold of Promise Farm. He does word of mouth. He doesn't have a business web page. He just puts out on Instagram and has a Facebook, and he's busier than he can stand. But I'm telling you, this technology is a solution for a lot of things, which is why we're going to have to fight for it. Peace.
Ah, I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good. So good. I got you. Oh, I feel nice. Sugar is fine. I feel nice. Sugar is fine.
It's obvious. The unthinkable continues. Most Americans know something very wrong is happening. People in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. That's why self-reliant folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $200 on each 3-month food kit you purchase. My Patriot Supply also sells solar generators, gravity-powered water filters, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship that same day and arrive quickly on your doorstep in unmarked boxes. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Time is running out to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.